Welcome to Going Beyond Medicine with Elaine Groman. Conversations with people who are working to make a difference in our world. Now here's your host for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, Elaine Groman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Groman, and this is Empower Radio and the show Going Beyond Medicine. Such perfect names for both this station and this show, because we need to empower one another to be able to know that there is so much that we can do when we just step out of our fear and step out of our comfort zone to see what we can do to make this planet a better place. And Going Beyond Medicine is looking beyond just that quick fix to really make a difference in our world. And today we're going to be talking, I'm talking with a wonderful woman from California whose name is Nancy Cristiano, who is a global philanthropist. And the thing that I love about Nancy, the many things that I love about Nancy, is someone described her as an artist who weaves kind souls together in a beautiful tapestry to benefit humanity. That says it all. So welcome to the show, Nancy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor and a blessing to share my story, my journey, and all that I have done in life with others, in hopes that I can encourage others to be bold and to step out.
Well, you must be about 200 years old with all that you have done so far. So please, let's get right into your proactive leader. You're a visionary, a speaker, a strategic thinker. You do things with the TED Talks. You do so many different things. Please just let us know a little bit about you and what you do. And we're going to then talk about the populationmedia.org that you're working with and other projects that you have going on.
Okay. Thank you, Elaine. As the words of encouragement that come to me that I think is so important, I think the audience should know that my journey did not start as in my earlier years of life. It started pretty much at the age of 50, where my daughter encouraged me to go to college. Mm. And oh, was I frightened when she said those words. But she said, "Mother, you need to take care of yourself. You must go to college." And I did, and scared to death. Oh, was I frightened to be a student, a 50-year-old student with all these young, bright-eyed kids. But I did it. I graduated from Chapman University 4 years later. I was voted the most inspirational student in the communications department. And as a result of that, I was written up in the Los Angeles Times, because as you mentioned, I am from California. And of course, my ego is in check. I know they write about old people who graduate, so there was a lot of that involved. Mm. But they wrote about me in the Los Angeles Times. Well, wouldn't you know, when I first went back to college, I took a class in marine science. And I ironically set my intentions there. I thought, this is what I can do. I can help save our oceans. But then I had to go out and take statistics and all those other difficult classes for me. And I forgot about the fact that I had set my intentions. Well, when I was written up in the Los Angeles Times, someone from an ocean conservation group based in Washington, D.C. saw that article, asked me to volunteer my time. I did. I helped raise millions of dollars for the oceans, and that set me on this path.
Wow.
Philanthropy.
Wow. So isn't that important? What you just said, Nancy, set your intention. Isn't that everything?
Yeah.
When we set our intention, we're not giving creation a command. We're saying, I'm willing. Isn't that important?
Yes. Yes.
So please continue. Became a philanthropist, or you assisted with philanthropy.
Yes, and let's make sure that we understand what philanthropy means.
Please,
because
yes.
I think people have this misguided notion or belief that the only people who can be a philanthropist are those with a lot of money.
Right.
And that is just not true. The definition of philanthropy is someone who loves humankind, and that's all. So aren't we all philanthropists? I would venture to guess that if you're tuning in and listening to this broadcast, you're a philanthropist. Mm-hmm. Own it. Yes. Own that name and start your every day saying, oh, how blessed I am to be in a position to love humankind so much that I can help change the course of just one person's life today.
Wow.
And the difference between philanthropy and charity, because I think we're all quite charitable too, charity is something that is an immediate need to solve a particular problem at the time. Like, yes, we're all feeling very charitable towards towards all the devastation from the hurricane. So people are gathering their goods together to send them. That's charity. And that, of course, plays an important role. Where philanthropy goes down to the basic root of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of my work is to empower women throughout the world. And that's getting to the basic root.
That's right. That's right. So tell us what you do to empower women, Nancy.
Well, currently, I'm putting all of my focus with what you mentioned, population media. But just to backtrack a little bit before I tell you what that is, I have been fortunate enough to touch on many different parts of our world that through my philanthropic work, from climate change to the oceans, to mention doing the TED Talks and, you know, just so many different pillars that we must correct in order to make this world a pleasant place for all. And then I came across population media, and they hit on everything that I seem to have touched during the past, well, since I graduated from college in 2007. And population media creates very dramatic soap operas to help affect change in the world.
Mm.
We're in 54 countries. A lot of our work is in Africa. And there, through this great drama, I mean, these are true like telenovelas where the audience doesn't even really realize we're addressing social norms to try to change them.
Mm-hmm.
As an example, a social norm in many countries in Africa is female genital mutilation.
Right.
Well, we know that that is an unacceptable practice for women, but they don't know that. And oftentimes it's the mother who takes the child, the daughter, to have this horrible procedure done on her because that's their social norm.
Yes.
So through these soap operas, we will have a good character, a bad character, and then someone in between who has to make a decision which way they will go. So you present these soap operas, again, and I just think that's just such a fun name for it because that's really what they are. You present it in a way where your audience gets conflicted and they're like, oh, goodness, you know, what am I to do? And more often than not, they'll identify with the good character, the mm-hmm. one who is not the mother who is not practicing it. And statistically, the changes that we have made through these soap operas are tremendous, tremendous. We're filling up clinics with people who are looking for contraception or protection against HIV/AIDS and again, female genital mutilation and rape by marriage. So it's been highly, highly effective in the world. As an example, in Tanzania, 52% of the population tunes in every single week to this radio program.
Wow.
Tremendous. Tremendous.
Isn't it beautiful that they had this gentleman who started it, Bill Ryerson, was wise enough to see that people, we learn through stories. You know, it's we learn through what we watch. So as we begin to have a different point of view about what is happening, then we can release the chains that have held us to cultural beliefs. How brilliant.
That's it. Yes. Yes, he is brilliant. And this man works tirelessly. He's in his 70s now, and he's been to 92 countries. He's traveling all the time. He's bringing us into Vietnam and the Philippines and just all over the world doing these, changing the world. One soap opera at a time. It's just tremendous.
So
populationmedia.org is the name of the organization. If your listeners would like to just take a look.
It's a beautiful website, and it shows that you really focus on women and girls' rights, global population, and environmental protection, the three most important things that we need to look at in our world.
Yeah.
Because without, in ancient times, that there was, unfortunately, it's ancient times, but we're getting back to that time right now where we understand if we continue in this lack of comprehension of the value of the human species. If we degrade the human species, then we degrade everything. And in the cultural beliefs that have been so prevalent globally, that are very patriarchal in nature, that is by definition just patriarchy rather than balance of male and female together, then we have the potential to make the human species extinct if we do not take action.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And before we go, we could lose the elephants and the gorillas and the chimpanzees and all the sentient beings that walked long before us.
Yes. It is the dying of the human soul that allows other deaths to occur.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So true. And it's so sad. We even work with organizations, as an example, in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Jane Goodall, whom I'm sure one knows who's listening to this.
Yes.
Jane Goodall, it works so hard to protect the gorillas and chimpanzees and all. And so we work closely with them in DRC because we have built into the storyline not eating bushmeat, because so often that's why we're losing these, the great apes, is because people are killing them for food. And so we build that into the storyline. We're talking now with a woman out here in California who's helping to save the bonobos, Ashley Stone. And we're talking to Ashley about building the bonobos, which is a female dominant ape that they are taking not only for bushmeat, but they're using them as pets, because they have the closest DNA to us of any great ape out there. It's like 98.2%.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're truly, it's redundant to say they're human-like, because they are, with that high percentage of DNA. So people steal them for pets, and then they export them, and they're just down to not very many left at all. There's a sanctuary that tries to protect them. But again, to your point of all these other loving beings that also want the face of our earth, we're working to protect them too. And even climate change. There's a gentleman, his name is Paul Hawken, and he really is one of our great leaders in climate change. He just wrote a book called Drawdown. And Paul said to me the other day that his research finds that women and girls hold the key to unlocking climate solutions. And so he's working with us too towards the empowerment of women to help them understand that. So we do play quite a strong role, but you know, it doesn't mean we're feminist, or, because I don't particularly like that word. I think we have to start dropping all these labels so that we work together. And just as many men tune into these as the women.
Yes.
So this strengthens the men to support the women.
Mm-hmm.
And so this isn't just, you know, a lot of women coming together and drinking tea and listening. It's the whole family who's listening. So we're affecting the children and the parents.
Yes. As we know that we work together. When we work together, then things are done. Because we each have our strengths that we can support with and share with one another. That's so beautiful. So my guest is Nancy Cristiano, who lives in California, and she's an amazing global philanthropist. And I love the fact that you said that a philanthropist is a human who has the ability to love humankind and the ability to bring things forward for correction, not just bringing funds to it, although funds are necessary, but funds, it has to, the funding drives the heart of what is trying to be accomplished. Is so beautiful in what you're doing, Nancy, and I applaud you and I thank you for who you are and what you do. Can you please tell me, how is it that you became aware of the populationmedia.org and how that came about?
Oh, that's such a fun story. Thank you for asking that, because it is a fun story. By going to college and with my daughter saying, "Mom, you need to take care of yourself," I was in a difficult marriage that I just couldn't seem to get myself out of. I was so codependent and I couldn't get out of it. And so through getting my education, it really, really empowered me. Well, eventually my poor ex-husband, God bless his little soul, ended up being quite sick. And so when I got away from the marriage, I had no occupation, really. I just had been able to do the good things that I can do in the world without trying to make an income. And suddenly there I was trying to figure out, I'm well into my 50s at this point. I'm thinking, oh, goodness gracious, what am I going to do to make a living? So I would just show up. I spoke with two young ladies at women empowerment conferences, and they say, what is the key to you being successful at what you do? And I said, you got to show up. Mm-hmm. And you also have to pick up the telephone.
Yes.
I think that's a dying art, and we need to pick up that telephone. But I said I would just show up. So I used to go to a lot of wealth management conferences because to do philanthropy, like you said, Elaine, you have to have the money.
Right.
So I went to one after another. And I was down at one called Cavendish Global Health down in La Jolla. And I'd gone to a few of them by that time, and I knew a lot of people. And everybody at this conference was saying, are you going to Will's house tomorrow night in Tiburon? I heard that over and over again. Are you going to Will's house? Well, Tiburon is a good flight. It was up by San Francisco. I'm down by Los Angeles. So I had to get to Tiburon because I said, sure, I'm going to go. So I called my daughter and I said, honey, can I have some Southwest points? And she said, sure, Mom. So I got my flight. And then I called my friend who owned a hotel up there and I said, can I have a room for two nights? And he said, sure, Nam. So I got myself up to Tiburon. I get up to the party. I'm talking to this gentleman about the oceans and my work with the oceans and all that. And then the next morning he called me and he said, Nancy, I have some ocean conservationists that I think you need to see while you're still here in San Francisco. So I went over to this gentleman's house, and there were about five or six people they brought together to see what we could do together to help our oceans. Well, the gentleman who had the home, he had this amazing book, like a coffee table size book. And in it, it's called Overdevelopment, Overpopulation, Overshoot. And I think you've seen this, Elaine. There, it is filled with the damage that we have done as members of this planet to destroy everything that was good. Because when everything was created, everything was good.
Yes.
And then through overpopulation and pollution and all, we have just done such damage to the earth. And this book was so profound that it just made you weep. And I said, I need to get a copy of this book. Well, wouldn't you know, Population Media is the one who co-produced this book, co-created it.
Mm.
And so I contacted Population Media and I said, I'd like a few copies of this book. So they sent it to me. And that was the beginning of it. Eventually, I met Bill Ryerson. He and I met in San Francisco. I said, I know I can help your organization to raise money because we must do this. So first I went to work for them as a consultant. And then about 2 months ago, they brought me on full time.
Wonderful.
But it all started with the visual of seeing the destruction of our earth.
And that brings me to the beautiful, you had sent me the other day a beautiful video about a woman, Paolo, and the work that artists do to, and it inspires me actually, because my background is actually as an artist, and I somehow or other, I'm going to work with you, sweetheart, to do a show here with really bringing the powerful words that we need to use that touch our hearts, to help us to see what we can do together. Language is so important. And what you're doing with Population Media, language, visual arts is a language. It touches us. It helps us to see ourselves with better vision, clearer vision, and so that we can see what we need to do that is right before us. Mm-hmm. So thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do, Nancy. So again, my guest is Nancy Cristiano, and she is a proactive leader, visionary speaker, strategic thinker, and public relations expert who focuses on national and international business development. But beyond that, she has a depth of management and coalition building at the grassroots, state, national, international levels that works with both business and nonprofit. And on top of that, as if she doesn't have enough to do, this little peanut is also the co-producer of the TEDx Orange County or Orange Coast and TEDx Los Angeles. My, oh my, you got to be 200 years old.
Well, in TED, those TED Talks, oh goodness, I love them because they're only 18 minutes in length. And in this little microwave society we have, it's hard to get the attention of anyone beyond actually 2 or 3 minutes. But oh, what can be packed into 18 minutes
is just
tremendous.
When people are
and
able
so
to.
So my role with both of those, or both TEDx Orange Coast and TEDx Los Angeles, was speaker outreach. And oh, did we have tremendous speakers come in. TEDx Los Angeles turned out, I think I'm safe to say, it was the largest gathering in the world for a TEDx. You know, there's the TED Talks and then there's TEDx, which is more like a franchise.
Yes.
And we had that at the Dolby Theater where they do the Grammy Awards. So we had to fill that theater up with listeners, and we did a pretty darn good job of that.
Wow.
But that is an all volunteer organization. I applaud anyone who has participated in any matter with TEDx, because it helps change the world a lot. There's so many good messages. In fact, I have to often drive to Los Angeles, and which can be a 2-hour drive. And I spend my whole time listening to TEDx talks, and time just goes by so quickly.
Well, what is so amazing when I listen to and watch TEDx talks myself and TED talks is they're, because of the time limitation, there is an editing of superfluous language, but very and a intensity of more direct language. So there is a feeling that you get that is more like an arrow right to where it needs to go to make its mark, to hit its mark. And that is a beautiful and wise way of using time. I love that. So we have to take a break in about a minute, but when we come back again, my guest is Nancy Cristiano, and she is a global philanthropist. And again, the beautiful definition that she provided of true philanthropy is to have a love of humankind, and not just, as she has so aptly had stated, it is not just those who are wealthy in terms of financial assets, but to recognize that we are wealthy in our hearts, we are wealthy in our minds, we are wealthy in what we are capable of participating with, and ideas that we can glean, and relationships that we can foster and help to grow. with one another on this beautiful planet. So I will be right back. We're going to take a quick break. This is Elaine Groman on Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, and we will return with my guest, Nancy Cristiano. Please stay with us.
The Empower Meditation Channel. Nonstop meditation music 24 hours a day in the new Empower Radio app. Music to empower your meditation, help you relax, sleep, or provide a calm background while you work. The Empower Meditation Channel is interruption-free. Listen now with the Empower Radio app, free in the App Store, or listen online at empower.fm. Soothe your soul, calm your mind. The Empower Meditation Channel.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Now back to Elaine Groman and Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Groman, and thank you for returning to the show with me. Today, my guest is Nancy Cristiano, who is working as a global philanthropist to bring education and important topics to the globe, really, so that we can begin to look at ourselves differently and make better, more informed choices, in particular, in various parts of the world where there are trauma to both women and girls, to the global population, and to environmental protection. So welcome back to the show, Nancy.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm looking at the beautiful, very well done Population Media Center website and the projects that you're currently working on right now is in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, also, of course, in the United States, in Nepal, and we're also in various parts of Africa, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And what do you think is the most, in terms of the things that you're working on with this Population Media Center and their beautiful work that they're doing, acting for change, what do you think is the tipping point when people begin to see how they can change the way that they have believed their lives should be because of cultural beliefs or the commonality of practices to really begin to recognize the value of their own lives? What do you think is the tipping point?
I have to think for just a moment there.
Do you think that when they see it from someone else's point of view, or as you said in this beautiful, the soap operas that you have, you show both what is common and perhaps someone who is making a different choice and that is more proactive for life and proactive for the environment and for others, and give them that opportunity to know that they do have the right to make a change.
Yeah, and well, in when we do these shows in Africa, as an example, we do it with the blessing of the government, because the radio, these are done on radio, by the way. These are generally not done on television in Africa because they don't have television.
Right.
So we do it with the support of the government because they generally own the airwaves.
Oh, yes.
And so these again, they're long running. So you can't just say that show did it, because it's a story that unfolds because they're every week for years. They're generally, we like to do a 2 to 3 year program if someone commits to supporting us financially. It takes years to do this. So there's no real tipping point because it's character building. And Elaine, you and I remember the show Dallas.
Yes.
And that was before we had TiVo. And I remember getting together every week with my friends and we would have parties to watch Dallas. And it's very similar to that. We identify with the characters, the beautiful women and the handsome men. I mean, we identified with them. And that is our goal with population media, is to have the audience identify with the positive character, the one who is making the good choice.
Well, I think that is what's so beautiful, is when that is, as you said, a longstanding radio show, then by people listening and being dedicated to listening and enjoying the opportunity to listen, their own behavior starts to change. And by association, they start to treat one another and themselves differently. So it expands out much like the radio waves, doesn't it?
Yes, yes, yes. And again, over a period of time, our statistical results are evident that people are identifying with the positive character. In Ethiopia, 63% of new clients who were seeking reproductive health services at 48 clinics reported they were listening to PMC's shows, their drama shows. That's really high, 63%. So we get people into family planning clinics for contraception and for protection against HIV AIDS. And we even built in, they're using malaria nets. They don't even know that these nets are available oftentimes. You know, as much as the Gates Foundation and others are doing so much, such tremendous work in the world to help stop malaria, if the population doesn't know it's available and the effect that it has,
that's right,
how would they know to go and seek it out?
That's right.
So ideally, PMC would work in tandem with all of these organizations who are providing good, safe product. They provide the product, you know, like condoms and malaria nets and all.
Yes.
But to work in tandem with PMC, that's how you get the message out that it works. Because if you give a man a condom and tell him that will help stop HIV AIDS, he's not going to believe you, because he was told that if you had sex with a virgin, he would never get HIV AIDS. So why would he wear a condom?
Right.
Because he doesn't need to. So that's the beauty of doing this. And I would love to see us eventually working with all of these tremendous organizations who are providing the product, and we can provide the way to help people understand how to use the product.
Yes. And Nancy, I see on the website, on the Population Media Center website, there is an opportunity for people to volunteer. And when you click on that page, it's hashtag get real. You make the difference. You change her story. Can you explain what's going on with that? Because it's currently running September 12th through October 24th. So we're halfway through that. And can you tell us what that is all about, so that people who are listening may be able to help in some way?
Well, yes. And right now we're actually on a big fundraising campaign, and that is the biggest way we can help. And $20 goes so far if a lot of us give $20. So we're not looking for these huge donations from big corporations. That's my job. I'll go after the corporations. I'll go after the foundations. You know, we've got a team doing that. But it really empowers all of us to contribute in some way, in some small way. And so part of this volunteer program is we have a team at our Vermont office. We're located in Vermont, if you can imagine.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we're right around the corner from where you are, really. I mean, in the big picture of life.
Right, right.
So we have a whole staff there who is working with these volunteers to have these volunteers sort of get their own group of people behind this and to talk it up and to encourage others to support us financially. Because this takes a lot of money to do this, and we can have a much broader and greater effect if we had more resources to do it with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And as you said, if people just give $20, $20 times a million is a heck of a lot of money.
Wouldn't
that be beautiful to help that?
And I can't even tell you how much money that would be, because when I decided to major in communication studies all those years ago, I looked at the list and I looked at the math column, and if there was no math, that's how I chose my major. So
I'm with you, honey. I always got a little intimidated by those numbers.
Oh, I think it's funny you just said, well, that's just a lot of money. Yeah, it is.
Oh, dear. So as a global philanthropist, what are you seeing, Nancy? Again, my guest is Nancy Cristiano, who is from California. And Nancy, tell me what, as a global philanthropist, again, touching the hearts of other humans so that we can really learn to love and appreciate being human. How are you finding that people are willing to open their purse strings? Corporations, it seems to me that in the current atmosphere of political leadership, I think that the divisive behaviors have really spawned so much more in the private sector for people to say, we need to do something. And I think that is helping people to recognize that they do have the opportunity to make a choice. So how are you seeing, as you're going to people or going to corporations, which after all, corporations are people.
Yes.
How are they responding to the global needs? How are they more willing perhaps to be involved than to just count their pennies in a silo somewhere?
Well, I think we have two very exciting things happening for us that is causing people to open up their pocketbooks a little bit wider. One is what you just touched on, Elaine, and that is our current political atmosphere in the world that we have going on. I do not take a political stand. When people ask me, you know what I am, I'm a philanthropist. Mm-hmm. That's what I am. And I will not even take part in that whole political conversation.
Right.
But what I am seeing is exactly what you said. People who have kept very quiet, even people who give a lot of money, who have kept their voice very, very quiet because they didn't want to jump into the fray, are now using their voices along with their pocketbooks to go after the things that are near and dear to them, because mm-hmm. we're seeing so much cutback with Planned Parenthood and the environment. I mean, we're just cutting back on the aid that our government was always willing to give. We've seen a lot of that with population media, that the cutbacks have been tremendous. But people are stepping up, and it's really a joyful time because you get to see people whose souls and hearts are being touched by the sadness in the world. You know, they're being touched and they're doing something about it, where before we always relied on our government.
Yes.
And we just assumed things would be taken care of.
Right.
Well, maybe that was a false assumption for a long time and we didn't even know that. You know, we just, it was status quo. And tragedy wasn't coming at us and being put in our faces like it is now. So it's really a very exciting time for philanthropy, because I am seeing people's hearts being so moved that they can't help but find a way to contribute. So that's one thing that I think, you know, that I'm seeing that's such a positive. The other positive is that the United Nations in 2015 created 17 sustainable development goals. And these were goals that they, the member countries, all signed to agree to alleviate needs that we had on the earth by 2030. And they include, like, number one is poverty. Number two is food, is hunger. And climate change is involved in that. Gender equality, I just looked it up here, clean water and sanitation, life on land, life below water, affordable and clean energy. So there's 15 of these goals. And if you look it up on the United Nations, just put in United Nations SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, you'll see all of these. Well, now this has become a very popular list of items that corporations are saying, we better start doing our share, because people are holding the world accountable.
Yes.
To these sustainable development goals. And it's become kind of the new buzzword that, you know, a corporation really has to address this, and they have to answer to their shareholders. You know, what are we doing to support the SDGs? Well, we're going to focus on climate change, or we'll focus on clean water. And so that, this has been really helpful to the world.
Mm-hmm.
This zero hunger is something that I am particularly focused on, because there is enough food to feed everyone.
Yes,
there's just not enough love.
That's right.
There's just not enough love.
That's what we're starving from, lack of love.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Yes. It's not food. So I'm working with a number of tremendous organizations to help the small farmers of the world, because going back to Africa again, in Africa, they are not honored. Farmers are not honored and respected like they should be. And so we want to change that and make farming just make it sexy again.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something else that I'm seeing, that it's very easy for me to go to these corporations who are doing work in that segment, whether it's for irrigation, or, you know, importing or exporting the food. If I'm going to so many of these and trying to bring them together so that together we can help the small farmers of the entire world. And that includes here in the United States. For goodness sake, we have, you know, Willie Nelson with Farm Aid, and we've got Jeff Bridges. He's with an organization to feed the children, mm-hmm. of the United States.
Yes.
We have so many hungry people right here in the United States. And that's
right. In our own communities.
Wrong.
In our own communities. Yes.
Yes.
Well, again, the thing that is so beautiful about the work that you're doing at Population Media Center, and by the way, the web address is www.populationmedia.org. And one of the things is there you ask for and you allow people, no matter where they are on the globe, to participate, to help in some way, whether that is through the training that you offer, the workshops, and advising and collaboration, because there's so many talented people in our world that are often saying to themselves, well, where do I begin? How do I help? And if they can come to your organization, Popular Media Center, and the Population Media Center, and they can see, well, gosh, you can offer your expertise here. You can put together a group of people here. You can see how you can find and get the training that you need in order to help to impact what's going on. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it'd just be wonderful to take a nice group of listeners who have a heart for this and take them to Africa and show them, watch them do these soap operas and really participate. You know, that would be... I've not yet been to Africa, Elaine. Have you?
No, I have not, but I want to because I have a dear friend who lives in Nakuru, Kenya. And I'll have to talk to you privately about that because there's a group of women that are doing tremendous things that are also in the Sudan. So women working together to help to bring themselves out of the travesty that women have experienced. I'll share that with you when we have a private conversation, but I think that might be something that perhaps Population Media Center would want to help.
Let me tell you, can I share with you real quick a project that I did in Kenya that I think your listeners will really be inspired by this one? I, years ago, had the great privilege of meeting Katie and Philip Leakey. Philip Leakey is Dr. Lewis and Dr. Mary Leakey's son of Kenya. And they were the ones who are anthropologists who discovered that we came from Africa. And Philip and Katie have really a heart for fair trade in the world, but they also have a great big heart for the Maasai people where they live, primarily the Maasai women, because they knew if they could empower the women that the spousal abuse would drop and, you know, life could change within the Maasai tribes where they live. So they had this skincare product called Marula Oil, and that's M like Mary, A-R-U-L-A, Marula Oil. That comes from the nut of a marula tree. The Maasai women would open it with a hatchet and drain out the oil. Well, this marula oil is miraculous what it does to your skin. And one of their investors, in fact, is a plastic surgeon who lives here in the United States, and his focus is on women who have had breast cancer. And he was putting the marula oil on their radiated breast, and their healing time was so much faster than whatever he was using before then that he became an investor in that. Well, they wanted to bring this product to the United States, so I helped them get an impact investor. And that's another buzzword that I absolutely love.
Yes, I was
going to
bring that
up,
impact investing.
Yes, impact investing. I just think it's a tremendous way to show your philanthropy because you're actually investing in a product. You expect to get a return on what your investment is, but you're doing something for the good of the world.
Yes.
And we're going to see more and more impact investors, both in the nonprofit world and in the for-profit world. So we brought this product to the United States. We were able to get it into all of the Sephora stores, which is remarkable because it was just one product. And, you know, when you go to Sephora, you see the name, I mean, they have many, many
everything.
Products. That's
yes.
how they get in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it was eventually sold to John Paul DeGioia at
my
Paul
gosh.
Mitchell Select.
Yes, who is
so
quite an impact investor.
Yes, yes. Oh, he's a tremendous man. In fact, he was one of the speakers that we had at TEDx Los Angeles.
Mm.
because John Paul DeJoria came, he grew up homeless, absolutely homeless. And now here he is, this tremendous success in the world, and he gives back, I think, so much. He gives so much to the world. So this product was sold to him. And as a result of that, thousands of Maasai women are now employed. And as a result of that, these women have, their husbands have a new respect for them because they're making a regular income. All of the places that they work are near watering holes so they can still bring their water home every day. Mm. With the money they are earning, they are going back to their villages and creating little cottage industries. They're financing other women to create little industries within their village. I mean, that is a true, beautiful success story.
Yes, and the beautiful way that it all ties into environmental protection, because as you and I have personally spoken about the Native American elders that I have the privilege to work with, and what when we protect the medicinal world, which is plants, as my dear friend says, if you put a tablet or a capsule in front of me and you put a carrot in front of me, I will always trust the carrot, which means that the plant has within us, within it, what can make a cell in a human body. We don't know what is in a substance in a capsule. We don't know whether it will always be there for our benefit or if it will do harm. But he wisely said, I will always trust a carrot.
Oh, I like that.
And the beauty of what you're saying here is we have, as we're becoming more and more aware of our need to protect our global environment, our environmental protection goes just beyond what we think of as overheating of the planet. It is saving the species of living beings called plants that are capable of ending human suffering or helping us to heal in ways that we didn't even know was there. So the value of that information is extraordinary. And as we begin to understand, as Hippocrates said, let food be your medicine and medicine be thy food. The true environmental impact of not caring for the planet affects everything. And so there is such a beautiful, broad way of beginning to look at the positives that we can do with impact investing, whether it's money or time or knowledge. It's still an impact, isn't it, Nancy?
Yes, yes, yes. And that goes back again to the definition of philanthropy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't need to be your money, your time. Our time is so valuable. And every day, what a treasure, what a joy we have, what a privilege we have to wake up every morning and to walk this earth.
Yes, as many great elders said, the greatest gift, in fact, a Native American and Mayan elder, Etchima, said, the greatest gift a human will ever receive is life itself. And what we need to recognize, and if in the last few minutes that we have, Nancy, can you please let people know how they can get in touch with you, how organizations can get in touch with you, so that they can begin to really grasp hands and work together to help our world?
That's just wonderful. I would love to do that. And you know what we didn't mention at the beginning of this? I have a personal mission statement that I'm actually able to articulate.
Please.
And I want to encourage all of your listeners to put your pen to paper and write and journal and think. Because so often people say, oh, if only I knew what my purpose is. Mm-hmm. We all have a grand purpose. But to be able to articulate it is setting your intentions, and then magical things happen.
Yes.
My personal mission is to connect people, products, and services that benefit humanity. And I came up with that years ago, even before I went to college. And, you know, these magical things happen because I've stated my purpose. And because of that, I am able to weave people together because they are brought to me. The people are brought to me to weave together. I don't go searching for this. Sometimes I go, whoa, how did that happen? And it happened because I set my intentions. So yes, I would welcome any communication from any of you. And I will give you my email address.
Please.
And this is the one at Population Media. It's N for Nancy, N Cristiano. And I'll spell that again. It's CHRISTIANO. N Cristiano at populationmedia.org.
Thank you, Nancy. Well, we only have 1 minute left, and I just want to thank you personally, as one woman to another, to thank you for all that you are doing to help women and girls across the globe, to help us recognize the need for having our global population be at numbers that are sustainable for the life and the beauty of this planet, and for the environmental protection that is so essential, so that we can in turn learn how to protect ourselves, because we live within our own environment called the human body. And that we did not create, but within our body is every mineral that is in this planet. Every drop of water came from this earth. Every ounce of oxygen that we breathe in, we did not create, but we are privileged to use for the time we're here. So thank you so much, Nancy, for who you are, for what you do. And I look forward to working with you. Again, my guest has been Nancy Cristiano. And you can find her at ncristiano@populationmedia.org. Please take a look at populationmedia.org or populationmedia.org. And the full website is Population Media Center, Acting for Change. We can make a difference when we work together. Thank you so much for your time and for being willing to get up so early, Nancy. Stay with us. Again, this is Elaine Grohman on Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. Yes, you too can make a difference. Just ask, and the answer will be given. Thank you so much.